Subsequently, the inspection report. The branch managers, credit officers are required to prepare the inspection report for the pre- and post-sanction visits to the place of the borrower as well as the place of business of the borrower, resident as well as the business. It should be a wholesome but not too long report. But then the pre-sanction inspection report for the new units will differ from the existing limit, existing ones. Because first report when you are granting, there are several aspects which needs to be inspected. But existing borrower, after the sanction of the loan, if you are visiting, then perhaps you need not go to the basically at the first instance what you have inspected. You have to take into consideration the current situation, any overdrawing, stock or machinery, whatever it may be, purpose for which the loan was granted. So, first report is always different than the second report. Similarly, the post-sanction inspection report for hypothecated stocks will be different from the pledged stock and also from the hypothecated book dates. You must know what is lien, what is pledge, what is hypothecation, what is mortgage, and what do you mean by the book dates. These are the commercial credit terms. You must know all these things as a branch manager. Again, the post-sanction inspection for transport of vehicles is different from the truck, trawler and boater ferry because the manner in which they are, their movement takes place is a different than the transport vehicle. Transport vehicle, for example, you take as a truck. But if at the same time, if you take at the boat or ferry, the required one is running in on the water, other one is running on the road. So requirement, security features, everything will be different. The pre-sanction and the post-sanction inspection of dairy, poultry, fishery, piggery, etc. is altogether different from each other. And even though that it is different from the crop loans and the term loans for the pump set, dugwells, or farm machinery, land development, etc. So there are multiple purposes, multiple utilities, and each will have a different purpose. So assessment of the inspection report, assessment in the inspection report to the point needs to be assessed, taking into consideration the purpose for which the loan is granted. Once the inspection report is received, pre-sanction inspection report is received, the stage comes for finalization of the credit proposal. Once the interview is concluded and the branch managers are satisfied, they may agree to sanction the proposal if it is falls within their delegated power or delegated authority, or else they may forward this application or proposal to the appropriate controlling authorities for consideration and sanction. Once the decision of the controlling authority is known, positive or negative, sanctioned or not sanctioned, branch manager should convey to their customers as if it has been their own decision. Not depending on my higher authorities have not sanctioned your proposal, rather than saying that basis on 1, 2, 3, 4 points, we as a bank, he should represent the bank, we are unable to accept your proposals. Like that, you know, better, softer language, but without hurting. As if he has taken the decision, despite the fact decision is taken by his higher authority, should be communicated to the borrower. What about unsecured advance and secured advance? Is the process is same or different? Definitely it is a different. Unsecured advance, there is no security available. And in the secured advance, there is a security available. In case of default or in case of anything goes wrong to the borrowed funds or borrowed account, the security can be enforced so as to set right the outstanding in the borrower account. But same is the not case in case of unsecured advance. Branch manager have a certain authorities to sanction the temporary overdraft or temporary over limit business over and above the sanctioned limits. Temporary clean overdraft are termed as an unsecured advance. In considering an unsecured advance by the bankers have to realize that if they agree, not only will he be without a security from where they may ensure the repayment, but also that they have placed the bank's funds entirely in the hands of the customer. If the borrower turns difficult and does not repay the advance for any reason, whatever may be the reason, the bank only recourse, bank will have a recourse only. It is a costly affair for the banks for possibly going for the litigation, court cases, obtaining decree, and even after obtaining the decree, if there are no assets, execution of the decree is also a problem. So, to be more cautious about the unsecured advance. Now, suppose if any branch manager has granted a loan against the check which is received through the clearing, what would be the status? That is also unsecured advance. This facility, to whom it is provided, there are certain criteria where branch managers can take the decision up to certain amount. The most branch managers in their day-to-day functions are faced the situation where the customer approaches them for repayment, for the payment against the checks which is either has been presented in clearing or have been sent for collection for the upcountry branches. Normally, if the customer issues the check before the bank has had the time to clear them, then banks may dishonor the checks with a reason if it's not cleared. Payment of checks drawn against the unclear effects creates a potential liability for the bank. If for any reason the checks being collected are dishonored by the drawee bank and consequently need to be debited to the customer's account when they are returned, this may lead to the temporary overdraft, which is also covered under unsecured advance. There are also chances of kite flying. What is kite flying? Kite flying is a phenomenon where the customer would request the branch managers to allow the payment against the uncleared checks drawn on account of the customer either in another branch of the same bank or with a different bank. This is very dangerous practice of allowing the or drawing against uncleared checks. New branch manager on taking over charge as a likely target of such kind of request from the customers. That is unfair practices they are following. It should never be allowed to be in first place. And number two, in case any payment is permitted and the kite flying operations are detected, it should be stopped. Allowing such facility through a tantamount to giving a clean overdraft is not permissible and against the policy guidelines for the advances which is issued by Reserve Bank of India. The art of communication to the borrower customer, that branch manager, what art branch manager should have, quality the branch manager should have. Bankers have to acquire the ability to communicate to the customers and have the strength of personally to act firmly. Branch managers are required to communicate with the virtually as a whole spectrum and have so adjust their manner and approach to the sectors. all customers, irrespective of the borrowers, irrespective of the background, need to make them feel that they can relate to their banker. And since it is the bank which wants the business, it is up to the branch manager to communicate effectively to the customer. So, communication channel must be very, very strong for the branch manager. Bank's business is bound to be adversely affected if customers do not find themselves received by the branch manager with an understanding and on an equal level. Art of good lending also need to be understood by the branch manager, which consists of lending opportunity or the request for the loan, which should be taken up as a challenge by the branch manager, credit officer, whether the prudence is put on the test, their prudence is put on the test, and the branch managers, credit officers get an opportunity to learn more about the customers, their business or industry, and the environment where the borrowers are functioning. Supervision and control of advances is an important factor in case of retail lending, because these activity at local level activity, and the branch manager is very specifically involved in these activities. Normally, supervision of the sanctioned advance, which begins by the communicating to the borrower in the formal letter and in terms and conditions for the advance for which it was granted, and this will make sure that the customers are aware of what is expected of them, and chances of any misunderstanding cropping up in future not eliminated, at least minimized. That is the motive of, that should be a motive of the supervision of the borrower accounts. Once it is decided to grant the loan, then the stage comes for the disbursement. That is actually giving the money against the security. So the branch manager should ensure that about the legal competency of the borrower to borrow, and then execute the necessary documents. Document must be executed much before the disbursement happens. All necessary documents are duly filled in correctly and properly executed and signed. These are the legal documents I am talking about, not an original application. The margin is properly maintained and there is a proper turnover of the stock. Insurance is adequate with the policy duly assigned by the bank in favor of, with the pre-sanction export is attached. Of course, all these points, including insurance policies and assessment or movement of the stock, depending upon what type of lending you are making, as it is applicable to that type of borrowing, this appropriate conditions are applicable. Now, loan is disbursed, documents are filled up, loan is disbursed. Post-sanction inspection, the stage come. Purpose for which loan is granted, whether that purpose is served or not, whether there is that much security available or not, and that is called as end use of the funds which are granted by the banks. The very purpose of post-sanction visit is supervision of the advances sanctioned, is an important as good as appraisal, and the reason is very simple. The branch manager have to ensure the safety of the bank's funds along with the proper end use. Further, the next step therefore is post-sanction inspection of the borrower's unit, business and trade, etc. It is very much essential. Now, what are the reasons? What are the objective of the post-sanction inspection? First, to ensure proper end use of the funds, as I explained earlier, check that the security charge to the bank represents what it has been declared to be in both quality as well as quantity. To ensure the compliance of all the terms and conditions of the documentation, that is when the limit was sanctioned or loan was sanctioned. To get an idea to how the units is functioning and make themselves aware of any problems which are faced by the proponent so that timely remedial measures can be taken. Then to find out whether the loan amount sanctioned is adequate and also if there is any possibility of diversion of funds. These are the reasons why the post-sanction facility, post-sanction inspection is required to be made by the branch. In addition to this, stock statement forming the important part. If at all loan is sanctioned for procuring certain goods and they are under hypothecation and then subsequently it is to be used by the borrower, then in that case, stock statement plays very important role for the branch so as to ensure that the money which was lent is perfectly lent and it is as per the requirement and the drawing of the customer is also well within the sanction limit. So under the why the stock statement is required is one of the main term for the sanction of advance, that is working capital, because it is work, for the working capital finance if the loan is granted, is submission of the regular stock statements by the borrowers. The periodicity, which is ranges from fortnightly to quarterly, depending upon the movement of utilization of the stock. Regular follow-up should be made to ensure obtaining the stock statement from the borrower as per the sanction term. If at all the stock statements are not submitted as per the periodicity stipulated, it may be fortnightly, monthly, quarterly, whatever it may be. Many occasions, branch manager has to run on account. What is run on account? Checking up accounts. Another method of effective supervision of the advance is close scrutiny of the advance, of the account. This means the frequent scrutiny of the account themselves and the transaction passing through them. And in case the borrower with a large limit as well as those having not so satisfactory track record or showing signs of the incipient sickness, the banker should make it point to closely scrutinize these accounts on daily basis if things are really going wrong. Another aspect of taking chance to confirm branch manager himself that advance granted is purely on his own judgment or maybe higher authority judgment is properly secured or not. Ensured or not. Secured we have seen. Ensured or not, that is also required. So the insurance of the security which is offered to the bank is a most important part. The securities offered to the bank to cover the advances should be adequately insured against the probable risk. Goods and commodities which are hypothecated or pledged to the bank should be insured against various risks, which includes fire, riot, strike, civil commotion, earthquake, flood, and malicious damages, etc. Goods which are likely to be subjected to the theft or burglary should also be additionally covered for the burglary risk. Primary or collateral security, that should also be adequately insured for the fire, earthquake and the flood risk, depending upon the area in which the particular security is stored. goods which are likely to be damaged by the explosion, that is fireworks, match or factories, should be covered for the explosion risk again. So, insurance risk depends upon the type of goods. Vehicle which is hypothecated to the bank are insured for the comprehensive risk. Comprehensive risk covers everything. It includes even additional cover for riot or strike risk should also be obtained for riot or strike prone areas where the advances are made against the ships, boats, trawler, marine hulls, or insurance is obtained. Goods exported or imported to or from overseas countries are also required to be covered under marine insurance policy. Unless these goods against which you have granted or bank has granted the advance, security is offered that ensure that the security is fully insured by the insurance company. Now loan is granted, everything is in place, all goods are very much in place, insured properly, then it is the time for the customer to repay the loan. What happens if the customer doesn't pay? Recovery of the loan at the branch is at the task. Retail loans more complicated. Amount involved may be small, but multiple borrowers, small amount means it is a big volume. But the effect of that is number of borrowers and number of defaults much on higher side. So how that should be controlled? The aggressive retail lending style followed by the several retail banks resulted into the bad loans, and therefore banks called for equally aggressive for the recovery approaches also. In addition to the usual follow up by the phone or mail or by letter recovery approaches were employed by the aggressive retail banks. These were post-dated checks under ECS debit authority, electronic debit authority, use of securitization and reconstruction of the financial assets and enforcement, that is SARFAESI Act, to sell the properties. Recovery agents to be appointed for the recovery. These are some of the options, but again for each option there are certain limitations. What are those limitations? Post-dated checks. The basic idea behind taking the post-dated checks, which is popularly known as PDCs, is to use the threat of the criminal prosecution in case of any check is bounces back. The mechanism of PDCs also creates a revenue opportunities. The bank where the borrower has an account recovers the charges for issuing such large number of checks and also levies the penalties, if any, for the check has to be returned unpaid. The bank which has taken place, these PDCs also levies the penalty if the check is returned unpaid. Under the SARFAESI Act, the approach is available only for the secured loans and has been largely used for the housing loan also, because that is the security only available in case of housing loans. It has been found to be especially effective against those borrowers who are living in the residential houses purchased out of the loans. Many times banks are appointing the recovery agents. There are guidelines issued by the Reserve Bank of India for recovery agents also to be followed by the banks. Aggressive retail lending in the banks outsource the recovery and the follow-up of the activity also. Initially used the recovery agents are initially used for recovery of the credit card dues in many banks. The practice was expanded to cover the unsecured personal loan and the auto loans also. Beginning with the polite reminding phone call that an EMI or card payment was overdue, the outsourced agencies followed it up with more calls and sending the agents to collect the fund dues from doorstep of the borrower. These agencies were also entrusted with the job on taking the possession of hypothecated assets in case of persistent default by the borrower. So this is certain principles that recovery agent also needs to follow. What are the Reserve Bank of India guidelines for the credit card and operations to the bank? Credit card operation, large overdues. In that case also, recovery agents can help the branch to recover the funds. The RBI guidelines prohibits issue of unsolicited cards. Those who are not eligible for issuance of the card, to them, card should not be issued. Defines this what constitutes the most important terms and conditions, that is MITC, which needs to be highlighted, advertised and sent separately to the prospective customers at all the stages, making marketing at the time of application, at the acceptance stage and in the important subsequent communication. This needs to be sent to the individual card holder who is applying for it. Then, detailed instruction with respect of wrong billing, debt collection practices, code of conduct, direct sales agents and recovery agents reporting to the credit bureau as a defaulter and dispute resolution, etc., is to constitute these guidelines which are issued by the Reserve Bank of India. Banks have been also asked to have a due diligence process in place for engagement of the recovery agents. Card recovery, there are different guidelines. For advances recovery or short loan recovery, there are different guidelines. So, the guidelines which are issued by the Reserve Bank of India for recovery agents in respect of the loan, particularly for the recovery agent, maybe direct recovery agent or DSAs, these guidelines need to put in place. What is suggested by RBI is bank should have that this include verification of antecedent of their employee through the police verification as a matter of abundant caution that is required to be taken by the respective branch of the bank. Inform the borrower about the details of the recovery agent. Do not send the recovery agent as it is. Unless you are not informing to the customer, this is considered as an illegal. Who should carry the authorization letter from the bank along with their identity card? Conversation of the recovery agent with the borrower will have to be recorded. The methods followed by these recovery agents will have to follow the guidelines issued by the Reserve Bank of India on outsourcing of financial services. And this is all about the retail credit and the expected work and the knowledge by the branch manager, which helps to run for any bank or branch the handling of the retail credit portfolio. Thank you very much.